Chairman Hobbins, members of the committee, my name is Jeremy Payne. I'm the executive director of the Maine Renewable Energy Association, formerly known as the Independent Energy Producers of Maine. We changed our name since September, just so you know. We're a not-for-profit association of renewable power producers, suppliers of goods and services to those producers, and other supporters of the industry. My members manufacture electricity in a sustainable manner from hydro, biomass, wind, tidal, and waste energy. We're opposed to LD 1504 as drafted for a number of reasons, but as we all know, there is new language that was suggested by the NRCM and Senator Mills. Unfortunately, I didn't receive this language until Thursday night, and thus my members and I have not had sufficient time to review and analyze the substantial changes proposed. So for that reason, my testimony will focus on the original language from Senator Mills. So we have basically five specific concerns with the bill around two basic questions. What are we trying to fix and why? First, the language contained in the tangible benefit statute was intentionally left vague to give prospective wind developers the greatest ability to offer creative and flexible host community benefits for their projects. The needs of Town A may differ greatly from Town B. We believe local communities are more than capable of assessing their own needs and question why it appears this bill proposes that those decisions should reside in Augusta. Number two, the language of the bill says the applicant would be required to, quote, provide a tangible benefit to ratepayers in the state in the form of a reduction in long-term electric rates. Does this mean we're asking wind companies to predict future electric rates and then, based on their own internal analysis, offer a discount? How do we know what the future rates will be and what happens if they're not predicted accurately? Who is then responsible for that number? Wind power pricing, and all generation for that matter, should continue to be dictated by the marketplace. Number three, furthermore, why is the industry being singled out and mandated to provide a discount on their product to Maine citizens? Wind companies sustainably manufacture electricity, and we neglect to see what makes them unique and that they should be singled out and mandated to provide their product at a discount. Do we saddle other Maine-based industries or developments with the same requirements? If Walmart expands a store to include a lawn and garden section, are the mulch, grass seed, rapes, and lawnmowers sold at a discount to Maine citizens? Do we ask lawyers, potato farmers, blueberry growers, milk farmers, microbreweries, or even paper companies to offer their services or products at a discount? No, of course we don't. And we shouldn't treat wind companies any differently, less fairly, or more uniquely. Number four, if we include projects currently under construction, Stetson 2 and the second half of the Kibbe project, we're now just north of 13% of the way toward our wind power goals of 2,000 megawatts by 2015. The more often we put up speed bumps, or in the case of this bill, roadblocks, the less likely we are to meet or exceed those goals. We have a tremendous opportunity to cultivate and support a rolling renewable economy, which allows the companies who have been involved in the construction of these projects, and you've just heard from one, to move from wind project to wind project, creating clean, green, renewable power to help reduce greenhouse gas emissions and lower Maine's over-reliance on fossil fuels. But if we put up unnecessary and onerous regulations in place, we're potentially threatening the future prosperity for wind and other renewable development in Maine. Number five, the bill's language is also very unclear on how the long-term electric rates would be reduced for ratepayers. Is the aim to reduce rates for just the host community or for everybody? What if a company makes an arrangement to sell their power, to sell their energy through a power purchase agreement to Bowdoin College, the University of Maine, or another large energy consumer, or as you also heard earlier questioned by Representative Fletcher, through a long-term contract? Are they still required to provide rate cuts to other ratepayers? No matter what the answer is, the requirement is still unnecessary and infeasible. Overall, we believe the existing language in the tangible benefits statute currently provides tremendous economic benefits to the people of Maine through jobs, economic investment, environmental attributes, and price-taking generation. We're opposed to 1504, and I'd be happy to take any of your questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Payne. I believe Representative Flaherty has a question for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for coming today, and congratulations on the new name, even more ambiguous than it was before. I'm having trouble, and I'd love for you to expand on the fact with your third argument that why are we singling out wind? And I guess the comparison to Walmart is just so troubling for me, because Walmart doesn't go up 100 feet into the sky, produce incredible noise and wind changes to our environment, not incredible noise, but to its neighbors, does not provide a resource for a regulated utility in this state, and more importantly, I guess, has what I would consider considerable public issues. Call them NIMBY, you call them what they want. But I guess I'm having trouble figuring out why we shouldn't be singling out wind. Why we shouldn't be saying that we are making public investment, and in many cases these wind projects are on formerly public land or are being heavily subsidized, oftentimes, some of the smaller ones, by public entities, whether it be a town or even necessarily incentives from states or public-private partnerships. I guess I have a lot of difficulty with how we're not somehow tasked on this committee, in this body, with having some say over something like wind towers and giant wind farms. Now, I'm not opposed to wind. I had as much trouble with the previous speaker as anybody. And I think that we're moving the right direction in the state. But I also don't think it is, by any means, unorthodox for us to expect that when we make considerable public investment, that, one, we can guarantee a rate of return. I mean, in this state, we guarantee insurance companies a profit. Why can't we guarantee ourselves as ratepayers a small profit if we're going to be going above and beyond, which I think rightfully so, to encourage the development of wind in this state?
Let's start first with the Walmart issue. Maybe a bad comparison, but the point I was trying to make is there are certainly those on the coast within the past few years who have had a lot of problems with Walmarts to the point where they're enacting their own ordinances. So that was one of the reasons I was citing that as an example. I guess I disagree with you that you're not getting a return on your investment. I mean, you're seeing property tax rates go down. You're seeing good-paying jobs created. You're seeing the opportunity for a rolling renewable economy. You're seeing greenhouse gas emissions reduced. You're seeing natural gas or other fossil fuels being taken off and then having wind power replace it. I view those as benefits. Whether there's something you expect beyond that, you know, Representative, I'm not sure. I view those as a taxpayer in this state and a ratepayer to my utility as a tangible benefit that I'm more than comfortable paying for and, as to use your word, subsidizing.
Sure, mate. Thank you for that. And I'm trying to make the Walmart example work, so I'm not holding that against you. I guess I just, as somebody who currently pays for renewable energy, I subscribe to the Light and Power, Interfaith Light and Power. I pay more on my electric bill because I want to encourage, it's a market decision that I'm making to encourage. I guess that decision, along with any actions that I take in the time that I have here, I don't think it's unreasonable to expect in 20 years that we're paying less than 12 cents a kilowatt. I don't think that's unreasonable, that when we're building these wind farms, with all the other benefits that I completely agree with and that I'm here for, but those are immediate benefits. And we're here using organizations like the Maine Renewable Energy Association and other stakeholders in an effort to bring down energy costs to help improve the economy. This is not just concrete and sand and gravel that we're looking to get out of these wind farms and a couple of jobs and maintenance. I don't think it's unreasonable for us to expect that we have a lower rate of electricity as a result of these significant investments that we're making, and in some people's case, significant, giving up significant valuable land in the mountain cases and offshore territory in many other cases. Why doesn't your organization, the Maine Renewable Energy Association, seek to reduce energy costs over a 20-year period? And wouldn't that benefit by having renewable energy prove cheaper, the overall use of renewable energy in this state?
Well, as I think you heard from an earlier speaker, this is you know, an industry that's just gaining a foothold in the state. So to expect an immediate drop in electric rates is, I think, unrealistic.